The kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God. We cannot even see it until we are born again, or pass from death unto life. But to enter it, we must become as little children. A little child doesn't concern himself with factual truth, but rather with what he is experiencing. He responds positively to that which makes him feel alive and safe, and negatively to that which doesn't. It was the Pharisees who responded negatively to Jesus because they were concerned about his being right. The publicans and sinners, on the other hand, simply responded to the life that he was, without concerning themselves with the correctness of his doctrine. I dare say they probably had very little mental understanding of what he was saying. The woman wiping Jesus' feet with her tears was just experiencing the joy of knowing that she was accepted and forgiven, and was returning to Jesus the love that she was experiencing from him, something that Simon couldn't do because he was so busy judging the woman as a sinner. Where is this kingdom that we must become like a child to enter? It is not something we can see with natural eyes. It is within. Jesus made a distinction between his kingdom and this world. He referred to it as being above. And this above is where Paul tells us we are to set our affection. In Philippians, Paul gets very specific about what we are to look at and think on, and associates thinking thusly with experiencing peace, providing us with a test of sorts. Can this above that both Jesus and Paul speak of refer to a place in the sky somewhere if it is within us? Jesus is said to have been in heaven even while walking the earth. And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And Jesus taught us to pray that his kingdom would also come in our earth. Paul tells us that our citizenship is in heaven, that the risen Christ is in heaven, and that we are right there with him. We must remind ourselves that the natural mind cannot understand spiritual things, and they cannot be seen with the natural eyes. They are spiritually discerned. Both Jesus and Paul, and all the writers of the Bible, are continually painting pictures to aid us in our understanding. There is, on the one hand, the kingdom of heaven, and on the other, there is this world. One is spiritual, the other natural. What is regarded as wisdom in the one is foolishness in the other. This world is the finite, seen world that is perceived with the senses, while the kingdom of heaven is the unseen, which we are admonished to set our minds or affections on. Jesus said that he was in the world, but not of it. And John said that we are as Jesus in this world, also in it, but not of it. Jesus was appearing to the world to bring light into the darkness without being subject to its systems and limitations. And that is his intention for us. To enter into and live in the kingdom of God is not merely to accept Jesus as Savior in order to be able to live in a place of perfection after physical death. The kingdom of heaven can be a now reality for us as it was for Jesus, if we but let this mind be in us which was in Christ Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is the unseen realm where God rules, while earth is a realm of the visible, which may be ruled by the god of this world, the human mindset or identity, which thinks it is separated from God, or it may be ruled by God himself, when the kingdom comes on earth, as it is in heaven, in the life of one who has his identity in Christ, knowing that he is one with God. For the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven, there must be someone on earth who is able to recognize that it is being done. For the will of God is always being done in heaven. the only reality that there is, and which is within each of us, but may not be visible to those on earth whose eyes are veiled by their human beliefs in the reality of evil. As Paul told us, it is only in Christ that the veil is removed. Only those of us who have appropriated the mind of Christ are able to go within and recognize the kingdom of heaven, where God's will is always being done, and bring it into visibility on earth. We don't cause it to be done by begging or beseeching God. We engage in true prayer, the recognition of that which is as opposed to that which appears to be. And in that recognition, that which is manifests itself on the earth. Jesus showed us what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God, where we know that I and my Father are one. In the kingdom of God, there is no lack. Whether Jesus needed wine, fish and bread, or tax money, it was there. Life in the kingdom of God is abundant. In this kingdom, nothing can hurt me, and there is no death. What the people in this world call death, Jesus referred to as sleep, and proceeded to demonstrate that those who were dead needed only to be awakened from sleep. When people tried to take Jesus' life, he just walked through their midst, into the realm of the unseen. He said that no one could take his life, that he would both lay it down and take it up again when he chose to. He also said that if they thought they took his life, that he would be back in 3 days, thus demonstrating that death only occurs in this world, not in the kingdom of God. Who wouldn't want to live in this wonderful place? The good news is that we can, for Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And that deliverance from this present evil world is for now, not when we die. The kingdom of God is within, not without. Within is only righteousness, peace, and joy. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. In the without, you go without. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Without is the world of appearances, but we are told not to judge by the appearance, not to look at the seen, but rather to set our minds on things above. It appeared to Mary and Martha that their brother was dead because they were looking without into the world of appearances. But Jesus was looking within and judging with righteous judgment. We can ask ourselves the same question Jesus asked of Martha. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do I believe that I can never die? That the life that I am is truly eternal? By returning the life that was Lazarus to the form his sisters could recognize, Jesus demonstrated the total unimportance of the form the life appears in. This was again demonstrated by Jesus when he appeared to Mary as a gardener, to his disciples as the man on the beach cooking fish, and to the men on the road to Emmaus as a stranger. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Form is merely a tool for appearing to this world of appearances to bring light into the darkness. This is difficult to grasp as long as I think that I am the body that I see in the mirror. I must understand that my body is not me. I am one with that which animates the body, the Christ. Christ is my life. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives as me. This body is a tool, a mask, that the I that I am uses to appear to this world, but I am not the mask. The mask is of the world of appearances and is therefore not reality. This body, like everything else in the world of appearances, is passing away, dissolving. I use this body, but I do not live in it. The important thing is to realize that there is no death in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus laid his body down and he took it up again, complete with flesh and bones, just as he said he would. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. After Jesus' resurrection, many saints also took up their bodies again to bring light into the darkness. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That is the sole purpose of form appearing to this world, to show forth the glory of God. That is why Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Form, flesh, is necessary if one is to appear to the world. But that which is visible is not life. We have to present ourselves to this world in a body, a living sacrifice, just as Jesus did, but we are not to be conformed to this world. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Adam and Eve, or the life which appeared as Adam and Eve, before engaging in carnal thinking that there was God and there was themselves, rather than knowing that they were one with God, lived in perfection, knowing that they were perfect and entire, lacking nothing. There were no problems to be solved, no others to straighten out, nothing to correct, heal, make better, evangelize, witness to, or in any way improve upon. They lived in the kingdom of God without fear, mental confusion, disease, sorrow, or pain. They were in a world of appearances, but not of it. Their conversation or citizenship was in heaven, God, even as they appeared on the earth. We, like Adam and Eve, and like Jesus himself when he walked this earth, can also live in heaven, from whence we came, as did Jesus. The difference is that Jesus knew where he came from. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. Jesus told us that we would have tribulation in the world, adding that he had overcome the world. And Paul was teaching that we enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. I cannot have my identity in both this world and in the kingdom of God. To be of this world is to be carnally minded, which is death. But to live, move, and have my being in God, or the kingdom of God, is to be spiritually minded, which is life and peace. The tribulation is what I undergo as I renew my mind to truth. It comes both from the battle in my own mind, enmity between flesh and spirit, and from the criticism and persecution of those whose minds are not renewed to truth. But we are still to be of good cheer even while undergoing tribulation, knowing the end result is the experiencing of life abundant in the kingdom of God. Jesus was crucified for saying that he was one with his Father, and you will be too. But he endured the cross with joy, knowing that the life that was living him could never die, that though the form would pass away, as do all things that are not eternal, the life that he was would take any form it deemed necessary, even one with scars from the crucifixion, to continue to bring light into the darkened world. The choice is mine. I can either continue to be of this world, thinking that this physical body is who I am, while waiting for death to release me into the kingdom of heaven, or I can, like Jesus, recognize that I am spirit being, which can never die, having my present residence in the kingdom of heaven, while appearing to this world in a form which makes me visible to this world, all for the purpose of bringing light into the darkness.